From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Come on in and good morning. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky with Barry Cronin. And Barry, today's one of those shows where, you know, you get to bring the shorts in. It's a nice day out in Chicago. Perfect golfing weather. I don't know about you, but one of the things to me that always signals the start of summer is when you're trying to book a tee time and it starts to become that slim pickings hour of okay, there's only a 12:55 and then there's a 1:45 and you have to get selective with it. But that to me sort of signals the start of summer. And I had that when I went to try to book my tee time for later on today. I had that feeling of, all right, I got to be selective with it. I don't have my pick of the litter here.
Right. Exactly. I'm with you. I had to wait. I've got a 1:30 tee time, so that's good. I was a little bit surprised that I went on the Golf Now app, you know, and I was kind of surprised that that was available.
Yeah.
Based on the pandemic golf mania, I thought, man, am I going to be able to get out this weekend? You know, because it's going to be a nice day. But I think maybe people get freaked out by the chance of rain, right?
Yes.
The weathermen, and I love weathermen of all kinds, especially Tracy Butler, who's a golf fanatic.
Yes.
At ABC7.
Friend of the show,
she's
Tracy
always
Butler.
Always very supportive of golf all her life, you know. But, you know, people look at it and they go, oh, there's a chance of showers on Sunday. Well, you know, the reality is, okay, so it might rain for 5 minutes while you're out there.
Yeah.
Or 15 minutes or whatever. But a lot of times it misses you, right? So you can't let little weather get in your way. But anyway, yeah, it's good. We're going to play, so it's going to be great.
I'll be out there. You'll be out there today. I'm sure a lot of you out there listening will be out there. Maybe you're on your way right now. We'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Where are you playing today? What are you hoping to shoot? Maybe you played yesterday, too. How'd you play yesterday? 312-332-3776. You know, when I was walking in, and we're in the First Midwest Bank studios here on State Street, I was walking in, and I see a guy walking down State Street with his golf bag. So that's how you know. When you see right down State Street, and you got people going out and getting ready to play, that's how you know golf is in the air. But there's so much going on right now in the world of golf, and that's kind of where we start here, where Phil Mickelson has withdrawn from defending his title at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills. This was a very... maybe strange timing. It's the old Friday news dump, right? Anyone who's been in the media business long enough knows that sometimes that's the timing of this stuff right there. But a good old Friday, late afternoon, I think it was around 4 p.m. Central Time, the old Friday news dump that came in, and Phil Mickelson will not play in the PGA Championship. How shocked were you, Barry, when you heard the news that he was not going to be participating?
Well, I'm not sure I was shocked. I think it was really up in the air. Obviously, Alan Shipnick's book, Phil, came out, and there's a lot in there. It came out that he potentially owes $40 million. He is associated with this Greg Norman Saudi Golf League tour, which the first event of which is in London the week before the U.S. Open. On May 10th this week, this past week, Jay Monahan, who's the commissioner of the PGA Tour, came out and basically said that the players who asked for the PGA Tour to release them from their obligations to play on the tour denied all of those. And that was a surprise to the golf world, to the golf media people, and I think people, agents, et cetera, who thought that Monahan was going to allow them to play because the first event is in London, and traditionally the PGA Tour has given releases to players like Phil, Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia, who had applied for, and a number of other players who applied for releases. He denied the releases, and that was kind of a shot across the bow of the Saudi Golf Tour and Greg Norman. And you know, if Phil had shown up, Tuesday is traditionally the champions press conference. And I think Tuesday's the date that Alan Shipnick's book is coming out. So that would have been interesting timing and really would have kind of ruined the whole PGA Tour, the PGA Championship vibe. I mean, it's unthinkable that a guy who at 50 years old won that tournament is not there. But boy, that just shows you how, you know, I look at it as Phil Mickelson is such an incredibly talented player and a major championship winner. He's won 3 out of the 4 majors, multiple Masters winner. But here's a guy who always has been arrogant in his life. You know,
marches to the beat of his own drum.
I mean, just in reading Alan's wonderful book, biography of Phil, now, which is going to be out soon. I got a preview of it.
Look at you.
Oh yeah, we're big time here. And it's just that he is the classic Greek mythology figure, Icarus, who is so arrogant that he flies too close to the sun.
Yeah.
And this is what happened to the guy. If you remember last year, he wins the PGA Championship at age 50. I mean, he's a hero.
Yeah.
Then he's on Instagram. He's given lessons. He becomes this huge figure in golf. This is after Tiger came back and all that. And Phil is like, wow, he's never been kind of had a higher profile than Tiger. And now he does, in a way. And this is like a tragic fall, you know, and the fact that he owes, you know, Alan's book came out and said, you know, he owes $40 million to people, and I don't know who you owe that kind of money to, but
it isn't
you and me.
Right, exactly. So the thing with Phil, too, and it's the interesting part of this whole saga is we've gotten to this point where, you're right, he was the hero of everything. A year ago when he was 50 years old winning the PGA, it was one of the more unlikely feats, not just in golf, but really in all of sports.
Absolutely.
To win the PGA Championship at the age of 50 like he did. And now we're at this point where in the times when Tiger's profile has dipped at times, like think about when he had the car crash and he wasn't participating on the tour. And all the other things that have gone down with Tiger, we've sort of seen Phil elevate during those times, right? And this was another one of those instances where Phil elevated. And I thought we may have been at a point where it's two ships crossing in the night where we may see Phil at a higher level golf-wise. I don't think he'll ever surpass Tiger profile-wise at any point for the rest of their lives. But from a golf perspective, Phil had eclipsed Tiger, it felt like, when he had won the PGA, and it seemed like, are we ever going to see Tiger again on a golf course? But now, those chips have crossed right back.
Right.
And it looks like, by all indications, it seems like Tiger is going to play at Southern Hills.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Phil, not only is he not playing, but it looks sort of voluntary that he's not playing here, too. So the PGA of America released a statement earlier in the week. We have just been informed that Phil Mickelson has withdrawn from the PGA Championship. Phil is the defending champion and currently eligible to be a PGA Life member, and we would have welcomed him to participate. We wish Phil and Amy the very best and look forward to his return to golf. And that kind of brings up the question now. When is his return to golf? Is it going to be with the Saudi League? Is it going to be on the PGA Tour? When is Phil's next venture in golf? That's the million-dollar question at this point.
Here's the key thing for a lot of these guys. Norman and other people that I've spoken to on that Saudi Golf League, who are involved in the Saudi Golf League somewhat, say that some of those guys have signed contracts to play in the Saudi Golf League. And when you think about it, Phil was actively involved in helping them form this league. So maybe he has a contract where he has to play for them, number one. So that could be London, at which time then he would theoretically be banned from the PGA Tour.
Right.
Because Jay Monahan said if you play for the Saudi League, you're banned from the PGA Tour. Now, that might not matter so much to guys like Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia, some of these other guys. It's almost like you're forming a pre-senior tour events, because all these guys are in their mid-40s.
And we
they're all not, most of them, I mean, you have to say, though, Okay, Mickelson wins the PGA, so it's, you know, you can compete when you're 50.
Right.
And honestly, last year Westwood had a hell of a year when he was very competitive. I think at Bay Hill, a couple of tournaments where he was. Remember, he had his girlfriend, now wife, on the bag and all that. It was like a big story.
Yeah.
So he was competitive. So anyway, though, those guys feel like, hey, I'm in my mid 40s. If I, it's a $25 million purse,
right? I mean,
you know, to play, you know, and the Masters purse was $15 million.
Yeah,
okay, and they raised it by about $5 million or $3 million or whatever, just to kind of stay competitive with the Saudi League. The Players Championship, they put theirs up to 20, but most of these events, they're not going to be $20 million events.
Right.
So why, these are 48 man. Three rounds, 54 holes. So they're like, you know, they're like senior tour events.
The quicker buck, yeah.
They're like senior tour events, yeah. Right? And everybody, it's a shotgun start. You're done in 4 or 5 hours. And, hey, man, if you finish last, you make $125,000.
Right. It's not like the PGA where if you don't make the cut, you're not seeing a dime.
Right.
Just by participating, you're getting yourself a nice check and making it worth your while.
Right. And the senior, the Champions Tour, what they call the PGA Tour calls now the Champions Tour, senior tour, 50 and older. If you know, those fields are 70 something, 78, 75, whatever. But if you finish, so those are no cut events. But if you finish last, you make like, you know, a couple, maybe $1,000 or something
right.
like that. So, you know, you got to finish in the top half of that field to make any kind of decent money when you're out there, just to pay your hotel and your gas and your caddy.
Right.
So, you know, for them, for guys that are 45 and figure, hey, I can't beat Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth and Colin Morikawa anymore, or maybe I can, but the chances are I can't. Why not go out here, play for these guys, the Saudis, and walk away with money? But what's bad for them is that these are European Ryder Cup captains of the future.
Yes.
Garcia, Westwood, Poulter. Can you imagine those guys? But they probably figure, you know what? The European Tour, the DP World Tour is now called, that would be, they would take those guys back in a heartbeat. You know,
right, because what they represent.
Because that's a very weak tour. If you look to me, you know, maybe not everybody, but if you look at the television coverage of the European Tour now, you don't know who those guys are. There's nobody out there. Lee Westwood and those guys, they're not playing there. McIlroy, they don't play there. They play on the U.S. Tour because there's so much more money on the U.S. Tour. So
right.
And that's kind of the conundrum now, because you've seen the guys like Morikawa, Justin Thomas, and like the best of the best, John Rahm. These guys have come out and said, like, it's really not an option for us. There's no point in us going to play in the Saudi Tour when we can win here still. And Jordan Spieth, obviously in contention to win the Byron Nelson right now. Right. Like, they can go out and play in the American Tours and not worry about the money as much. They care more about winning where the best golf is being played. Like, it's one thing to go out and win on the Saudi Tour, but from a competitive nature, the wins aren't as significant because of who's in the field.
There's no history in it.
Exactly.
There's no history.
Meanwhile, on the PGA Tour, you're talking about the best of the best from all around the world, and they're coming to play on these courses on these 4 days. And if I win here, I know I am one of the best golfers in the entire world.
Right. It means something to them. You know, playing a 54-hole shotgun start, and these are great. They play in good courses. There's no argument about that. You know, and then there's also the underlying issue of who's financing this tour and why.
Did I see that right this week? They've committed another $2 billion to that tour too. Every week there's a new number that comes out. It feels like finances of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, when you're the key oil supplier of the world, it's the Saudi Arabia. The state basically owns all the oil wells, you know, and that's where all the money goes. So they've got pretty much unlimited assets to distract from some of the human rights violations that they've had. They had within the last month, they had a mass execution of 81 people And it's not exactly the U.S. criminal justice system, which if we, you know, there's a lot of arguments about whether it's a fair system in the United States. It's probably the most fair in the world. Maybe not the fairest it could be. But certainly Saudi Arabia doesn't have the same criminal justice system that we do. And quite a few of the people who are being executed maybe shouldn't be. So. And of course, then you have the Khashoggi issue, where the guy who
Greg Norman's comments.
We used to write for the Washington Post, and we'll go over those comments when I'd like to read those comments.
Yeah.
Maybe in our next segment, we could talk a little bit about that, because I want to make sure we do it accurately.
Yeah, so we're going to talk all things about what's going on with the Saudi Golf League, that and the further steps with it, with Phil Mickelson, and when are we going to see him again? Will we ever see him again? What do you think? 312-332-3776. It's the CDGA Golf Show, talking all things Phil Mickelson, all things PGA Championship. We're going to have Teddy Greenstein join the show at 7:35, and we're also going to have David Faraday from the Golf Channel coming up at 8 as well. So be sure to be locked in here. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Come visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. It's the CDGA Golf Show. I'm Tyler Rocky with Barry Cronin. We're talking about Phil Mickelson and what's going on with the Saudi Golf League right now. And there's a lot of people who are looking at what is this Saudi Golf League going to bring? Who is leaving the tour? Because the PGA has officially taken its stance. They are not going to let you do both. They are not going to provide the exemptions that we have seen them hand out in the past to various golfers for different other reasons. And obviously none of them have been for reasons that are as threatening to the brand of the PGA, quite like the Saudi League. Now, is the Saudi League ever going to take over the PGA Tour? I don't think we'll see it in our lifetimes. Me and you, Barry.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Used to be that the PGA Tour would allow players, they would give them a release to go play, say, for example, the Scottish Open, right, which would be the week before the British Open, and it was the week of the John Deere Classic here in Illinois. And so they would give them a release because they need to travel. They want to play over there the week before the Open Championship. So you understand that. And they give them a release to play overseas in certain events where the players are getting it's a big appearance fee or whatever, but it's a one-off. They know that the players are going to come back to the U.S. PGA Tour, and it's really not a competitive deal. They do not give releases to players for competitive events within the United States, for competitive tours within the U.S., and that's their prerogative. What they're saying is that the Saudi, and what Greg Norman has said, is that the Saudi situation is going to be a league, right? They're saying it's 8 individual events this year, just this little series, but next year it's going to be 12 events, and then the year after that it's going to be 14. And so they are building a tour that's going to compete with the PGA Tour.
Right.
And that's why Monahan and his attorneys have put their foot down. They don't want to give any kind of a precedent for releasing these players to play in the Saudi League, even though it's overseas. So that, I think, is what's going on here in them not releasing the players to go there.
And part of why the PGA doesn't want these players going over there to go play in this tour is because it hurts them from competing in their own tour. I mean,
right.
The first event conflicts with the Canadian Open, and they don't want, and
most importantly, the RBC Canadian Open. Right.
Yes.
That's the company that sponsors it.
Right.
And RBC also sponsors the Heritage, Hilton,
yes,
Head. So you've got a sponsor, and really the RBC company rescued the Hilton Head event, Heritage. They rescued that event because that event lost its sponsor. It didn't have a sponsor for a couple of years, and then RBC came in and rescued the event. Kind of like Farmers did in San Diego when they lost their sponsor. So The tour has to protect its sponsor. It has to protect, and the Canadian Open, they haven't even had the tournament for the last couple of years because Canada went nuts on the they went really insane on the COVID, and they didn't let anybody out of the house for a couple of years. So, you know, they've got to have that tournament up there or it's going to completely lose its footing in that. And so I think Monahan had to protect that event. So, you know, do we think that that the Saudi tour will live? I don't think so. It doesn't look like it. But the thing is,
the money's
they have
there.
A lot of money, and they've proven that they've got that Formula One racing. Those guys are over there. The Formula One racing is over there doing having their events over there. So, you know, you never know. But I don't know. Honest to God, do these guys really want to go over and play for the money? I mean, look, here's the thing. I was talking to somebody. They're going to have an event out at Rich Harvest Farms, which is out in Sugar Grove. They had the Solheim Cup in 2009 out there. They've had a lot of amateur events. If you talk to people out there about how are ticket sales going? They announced their ticket sales last week or week before. How are ticket sales going? Great. How's corporate hospitality going? Really good. So you say to yourself, well, we sit here as analysts and we're reading the fine print about, gee, what did Phil Mickelson say about the Saudis? And what did Greg Norman say? I'll tell you what Mickelson said. From Alan Shipnick's book, and this came out about a month ago, which it says they're scary expletives to get involved with. Mickelson said, "We know they killed Khashoggi and have a horrible record on human rights. They execute people over there for being gay. Knowing all of this, why would I even consider it? Because this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to reshape how the PGA Tour operates." And really, in my opinion, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Phil Mickelson to go over there and play eight events and win all of them and win $3.5 million per event so he can help pay off his massive gambling debts to people who really want the money.
Right. And then there were the comments as well from Greg Norman from earlier in the week. And he's talking about this whole thing about Saudi Arabia and Khashoggi and human rights. Talk about it, but also talk about the good that the country is doing in changing its culture. Look, we've all made mistakes, and you just want to learn from those mistakes and how you can correct them going forward. And just the single-handed absurdity of that statement of we've all made mistakes. I mean,
we've all made mistakes, yeah.
That's not a mistake. That's an action.
Like a teenager drinking beer at the beach or something like that and getting caught by his parents.
Right.
That's not exactly – I hope that's not biographical. But anyway – people do make mistakes, but, killing a guy and chopping up his body into little pieces, and that's not a mistake. That's a criminal offense, a human rights offense of the highest order. So, you know, Greg Norman is not exactly the great intellect of the world. So, it's really kind of amazing that they got him to run this tour.
Right. So looking at the shift of guys who are maybe going to be going over and participating in this. So Greg Norman has talked a little bit, and this came out on Tuesday. So there's 170 entries for the event at Centurion. 36 pros that he claims are ranked inside the top 150, plus 19 in the top 100, and 6 in the top 50. Now, we don't know necessarily name by name all of these players yet, but you can read through the tea leaves and see a fair number of guys that are going to be shifting over there. There's some people that have come out and said that they have applied for the waiver, which ultimately was denied by the PGA Tour. Those are Phil Mickelson, Lee Westwood, and Sergio Garcia. But I think if this Saudi League is going to become a thing, it's going to be a slow bleed, and I think it's going to be a fairly slow bleed. You're going to see guys who realize they can't compete on the PGA Tour anymore and say, damn, the money over there is pretty good. And I want to be a part of that. I want to have that little last kind of ride around the sun and be able to pick up a nice check as I head into the twilight of my career. Right. And you almost wonder, is that going to be the replacement for the Champions Tour? Is it going to be the checks are much bigger there? I can win there. And if I do win the tournament, not just top 10, but win the tournament, I mean, you're talking about a purse that is probably topping what you would make in a year just from playing in one tournament there.
Yeah, it could threaten the Champions Tour, of course. But these guys, if and when they leave, they're going to be gone forever from the PGA Tour.
Right.
Now, what'll happen? Okay. First of all, the major championships, the U.S. Open, the Masters, the PGA Championship, the British Open, they're not part of the PGA Tour technically, right? Mm-hmm. The PGA Tour counts the results of those events toward, they say they're kind of on the PGA Tour. They claim them as the PGA Tour, but they're not governed by the PGA Tour. So if the USGA, U.S. Golf Association, wanted, let's say Phil Mickelson goes over and plays in London, the first Saudi Tour event, the U.S. Open, they can say, yeah, Phil, you can come and play here. They're an open championship. Same thing with the British Open. Same thing with the Masters. Same thing with the PGA, although the PGA has said they're not going to let those guys play. So they could still theoretically play the majors. That's number one. Number two, this is going to end up in court. The people who are going to really make money are the lawyers, right? And so, you've had these splits before. Remember when the USFL... was starting and Donald Trump was involved in it, and they actually won their lawsuit against the NFL. The USFL got a dollar,
right,
and they got treble damages, so they actually got $3. So, but they didn't have the money. So they won the case, but they didn't have the money to continue as the USFL. If the PGA Tour, if the judge determines that the PGA Tour is acting as a monopoly, and they say, hey, you have to let these guys play on the PGA Tour, even though they go play the Saudi Golf League, the Saudis have enough money to say, hey, we're going to still be alive. We're not going to be like the USFL, which ran out of money.
Right.
The Saudis aren't going to run out of money. But this is going to be a court case, and it's going to go on. It's
going to be something to watch over these next couple of years to see the evolution of the Saudi League. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet. He's going to get us all the best bets that you need to make heading into the PGA Championship coming up this Thursday at Southern Hills. We're going to get his input, and maybe he'll talk a little bit about betting the final round of the Byron Nelson as well. That's coming up next. This segment was brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Come visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Teddy Greenstein, when we return on the CDGA Golf Show.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
The segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki, Barry Cronin, talking all things golf with you from now until 9 a.m. We're with you every Sunday morning throughout the golfing season. So we hope you join us every single Sunday. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Twitch this week is brought to you by Brothers Bond. Go pick up a bottle of Brothers Bond and let's bond. So we've been talking a lot, getting ready for the PGA Championship. That is going to be coming up this Thursday, and we figured we would head on out and talk to Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet, who is going to give us all the odds, what to look for, where to put our money down and allocate it for this upcoming major for golf. And we head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find Teddy Greenstein, who not only is the betting savant from PointsBet, but also now, Barry, is a distinguished author as well, Quarterback Dad's Wild Tales from the Field. Teddy, before we get to all the golf stuff, can you tell us a little bit about your book that just came out?
Yeah, Tyler, Barry, good morning. First of all, hearty thank you for putting me on before David Faraday.
We had to make sure people were listening by the time Faraday got on.
We want to have a good lead into him.
I mean, that's obviously better than going on after him and people saying, wait, there's been a horrible mistake. So that was definitely a good batting order there. But good morning, guys. Yeah, coming to you from Geneva National, day two of a three-day golf trip. So all good.
Great.
Quarterback dads. So a little under 2 years ago, I received a text message from a friend of mine who said, hey, my son's getting quarterback training from a guy named Donovan Dooley, and he has all these kind of funny and horror stories from quarterback dads, you know, sort of like the modern-day Marv Marinoviches. And he said, you know, do you know somebody who wants to ghostwrite it? And I said, yeah, I do, me. He says, like, think about it. It's football. It's quarterback. It's the most intriguing position. Everybody wants to know, like, who's next? And my kids play travel soccer, so I'm also in that mode of being a dad.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The book came out a couple weeks ago, and it's really a mix of, you know, tales of guys now, these dads who will do anything to get the best training and the most attention for their kids. And ended up getting Todd Marinovich, Archie Manning, Chris and Phil Sims, Warren Moon, Kurt Warner, a lot of great people for the book.
And I'm sure they're all fairly calm, right, Teddy? And a lot of equanimity, and they accept. They're almost Buddhist in their approach.
No yelling at the refs, right?
There's no yelling. They're just very cool, calm, letting the children go ahead and just pursue their own goals.
That's right. They're in a state of bliss during all these games and practices. They just calmly walk around, you know, probably with their eyes closed, and they're envisioning their next drive down the first tee.
Yeah, they're reading a book while they're being their kids are being coached. So, give us a couple of your favorite stories.
Yeah, I mean, these dads are so hyper involved. You know, I knew I was onto something, Barry, when very early on I was attending just a casual 7-on-7 workout. And I noticed there was a drone flying overhead. And I said to the dad, what's with the drone? And he says, oh, well, there's a camera attached to it, and I'm accumulating footage for an Instagram highlights package.
Wow.
I said, oh, of a workout. Okay, that's an interesting one. And then there's a dad in Michigan who's already done a 3-minute highlights package on his kid. His kid shows up to games in a fake arm tattoo sleeve and his own customized cleats. And that kid is 7. So on the one hand, you say it's absolutely crazy that these dads are starting so early and getting training for their kids. On the other hand, there's a kid named Trey Taylor in the northern suburbs of Chicago. He's an adorable kid, like a mini Patrick Mahomes. He's been getting training. He just received an offer from the University of Maryland, and he's in the 7th grade. So sometimes it actually is paying off to get the clock going early.
Well, that's like the golfers that start so early, and now they're maturing, and they're going to be at Southern Hills this coming Thursday for the PGA Championship. But guys like Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, I mean, they're all young, and they're getting recruited for college early, but now they're pros, of course. So give us a little bit of insight on what's going on with the gambling situation out there.
Yeah, you know, Tyler is warming me up there and saying I'm going to be giving, like, you know, dishing out brilliant picks and all that.
Absolutely.
Well, Teddy, we had you on during the Bears pregame shows, and you always had something for us for those, and it was a lot of winners.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. This is a little different in that we're still a few days out, and I've certainly read about the course, Southern Hills, and with the renovation, I think it's going to look and play great, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be way, way less rough and fewer trees and more options and just more creativity. I think it is going to favor the longer hitters. You know, there's just such less of a premium these days on driving accuracy, and it's more about, you know, making birdies than making pars, like the majors that we grew up with offered for the U.S. Open. So, but looking at our odds board, no surprise, Scottie Scheffler is 11-1. He's plus 1,100. For a long time, he was plus 1,200, even with Justin Thomas and John Rahm. And I think a lot of people were like, how is Scottie Scheffler not ahead of these guys? So he has nudged ahead. So far, the only bet I've made, honestly, I noticed Max Homa, after he won the Wells Fargo, was 100-1. And so I pumped a little bit in there on that one, and he is down to 60-1. So, you know, I'm not taking credit for moving the line. I think some bigger bettors noticed that too and got Max into a more reasonable range. By the way, I noticed too, Bryson DeChambeau also 60-1, which has got to be his highest starting a tournament in 4 or 5 years.
Well, that's the right. most ridiculous bet in history. I mean, he just had hand surgery. My gosh, he hasn't even swung a club. But anyway, sometimes better is enough.
Another story, Barry. Come on.
Yeah, listen. Hey, let me ask you, Teddy. Are there prop bets? So, for example, like if I want to bet, well, hey, is Tiger going to finish in the top 10 or top whatever? I mean, what do they have there? Anything? Or am I
as we call them. Yeah, our odds makers will be feverishly working on those. At this moment, we only have the outright stuff. But okay. As we get into Monday and Tuesday, Barry, you're going to see stuff. I'm going to have you check the points bet site that will blow your mind. I mean, sure, it starts with top 5, 10, 20, 30, and all that kind of stuff. Right. And then we get into nationality odds, who's going to be the low Canadian. But, you know, what we're going to have, what folks are already able to do is, like, let's say you just join the coverage on Friday and you're watching Jordan Spieth and he's on the 11th hole. You'll be able to bet on Spieth's performance for 12 through 18. So you'll be able to bet on birdie or better, par or bogey or worse. And then if you think that's something, we're going to be having enhanced live odds starting later this summer in a couple months where you'll be able to bet on longest drive in a group, whether a guy's going to hit the fairway. We already have proximity on the par threes. So the live product is a huge, huge deal for points bet, and the odds will get sort of more micro as we go on. So it's one thing to, you know, for guys to bet at the beginning of the week and head-to-head matchups and three balls and all that, but then you'll just be able to go shot by shot, and golf's a great sport for live betting because there's obviously time between shots.
Teddy Greenstein joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Teddy, what is your strategy when you see the entire board? Obviously, it's not all out yet because we've got the Byron Nelson going on right now.
Yeah.
But first of all, when is that board going to be sort of solidified and you'll see a lot more out there? And B, what is your strategy when you see that board and start to maneuver through, okay, what bets do I want to place for the PGA?
Pray. No, you know, it's so hard.
You and me both.
Winners. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just so gratifying sometimes when you do it. I mean, honestly, for the Masters, I was dialed in, and the two guys I bet the most on were Scheffler and Cam Smith.
Very good.
Yeah, and then I just ended up, like, supplementing. So, like, when, like, Charles Schwartzel makes a run, I'm like, oh, God, I better put a little bit on him at 80-1 just in case. Or Sungjae Im is 60-1. Let me throw $25 on him just in case, kind of to protect that initial investment. But I'll certainly have fun with it with the majors. Like, I'll identify guys. And then almost like horse racing, sometimes I'll go across the board. So I'll take a guy to win, but also, like, top 5, top 10, top 20. Not huge amounts, but maybe just $20, you know, across the
right.
board.
See, that makes a lot of sense to me, Teddy.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense because it's so hard to me to pick a winner in golf. To me, if you could pick a guy top 5 or top 3, whatever, it's almost like, okay, you can't bet to, you know, we go to the racetrack back in the day, and my dad used to say, you can't bet to show. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, place is okay, but you can't bet to show,
up,
right?
Young man.
You know what? Are you out of your mind? You can't bet to show. So, because you can't make any money. But in golf, I mean, my gosh, these one shot, the guy gets a bad lie, the ball lands up in the divot or whatever.
Or it's just the 17th hole on Sunday, and you're out of a top
like
5.
One shot, and all of a sudden you're making bogey, and four guys, especially like this week at Craig's Ranch. I mean, it's unbelievable. I think the cut was 5 under par. Luke Donald was 4 under par, and he missed the cut. I'm like, really? I thought
you want to get mad at some of the guys you pick who missed the cut, and then you say, he shot 4 under. Like, it's not like he didn't show up.
Exactly.
But, you know, Barry, an example of what you're talking about is Sebastian Munoz.
Right.
He was 80-1, 100-1 to win. And, like, Jason Sobel, our friend at the Action Network, actually, he was the first guy he mentioned in his column. Now, I did not bet on Munoz to win, but I have a top 10 on him and a top 20 on him. So, exactly, you want to hedge a little bit in golf betting. Like, there certainly is a strategy that a lot of people do, which is take 12 to 15 guys and just bet the outright. But that is sort of a scary way to live. You probably want to go for some head-to-head matchups where you can pick a guy to fade, some three balls, you know, meaning like on Thursday, let's say it's Rory McIlroy playing with Joaquin Neiman and Justin Thomas. We'll have odds for all three. So you got to get creative. And then we'll certainly do some name-a-bets where, you know, a couple weeks ago I did a name-a-bet where it was the two NBA home teams who were favored combined with a Tony Finau top 20. So we do these cross-sport ones. We get creative. And honestly, we ask our points bet clients to do that. Like, just DM me your bet idea, and we'll price it up, and then you and your friends can bet on it.
I think you should have a bet on who's going to backdoor top 10 and then just take Rory McIlroy at every major.
Or Ricky Fowler, too.
That's right. We can do a bet where it's like his Sunday score versus his Thursday score.
Right, exactly. It's got to be like a no-pressure Masters, like Rory shooting. Oh, now, you know, Rory has a great round at the Masters because there's no pressure, because he's no pressure that he's going to win. So he just goes out and he just plays natural like himself. But then as soon as there's pressure, it's like, oh, he starts taking too much time over that putter. And
we can all relate to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can.
Yeah, Teddy, before we let you go here, do you have a pick for us here for the PGA this week?
I don't have a pick yet, but I'm going to say, let me give you a pick.
Do you have someone that you like? Someone that you like,
sure,
maybe.
I'm going to go Cameron Smith. I'm going to go 16-1. Wow. Obviously, he was right there at the Masters. There was on this third hole, I think there was a glimmer where he probably took the lead in terms of the favorites board, and then Scottie Scheffler, you know, poked that one in, which was an amazing shot. But Cam Smith has everything it takes to, you know, really thrive at a lot of these events. I mean, he's a little spray off the tee, but it sounds like Southern Hills is going to be certainly more forgiving than it was when Tiger won. He's got the elegant short game, and now he's got some scars. Like, he must have learned something from the Sunday at the Masters. So, Cam at 16-1, Tyler, is my pick.
That is your pick to click. Well, Teddy, we thank you so much for joining us. Hit him straight out there at Geneva National, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, boys. Have a great
Good luck with
Sunday.
Quarterback dads, Teddy.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate that.
That's Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet. So Cam Smith, his pick, the guy who came oh so close out at the Masters, he's gotten him with a little bit of redemption out at Southern Hills. When we come back, we'll tell you about some of the great things going on with the CDGA. This segment was sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back. Hey everyone, it's Tyler Aki. What if I told you could participate in a prestigious golf tournament all season long? A tournament where you could represent any country you want, consisting of match play qualifiers, foursome, four ball, and singles. Well, what if I told you it was all right here in Chicagoland as well? Introducing the Nation's Golf Cup, an inaugural golf tournament where you pick your country and compete for a chance to be crowned champion. Visit thenationsgolfcup.com for more details. Registration closes May 31st, so sign up while you still can. Barry and I are already signed up and ready to go. So sign up at thenationsgolfcup.com.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. It is the CDGA Golf Show. Just had a great conversation with Teddy Greenstein. And if you missed any of that, check it out on the CDGA Golf Show podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts as well. Tyler Aki, Barry Cronin with you. We're going to talk to David Faraday in about 5 minutes from now. But I do want to tell you, Barry, we are participating in the Nation's Golf Cup. And if you want to sign up and join us, sign up at thenationsgolfcup.com. We got to declare our countries that we're going to be competing for. Do you have one in mind yet?
I have one in mind. You know, I was thinking the best thing to do would be to pick a country. For me, is to pick a country that nobody else is going to pick, because otherwise I'm going to lose, which I'm going to probably lose anyway. But I was thinking maybe like Somalia or something like that, or, you know, Uganda. But,
all right, well, you got to pick here.
All right. But I'll pick the United States.
All right, you're going to go with the United States. You gave us two options, and then you went with the secret third option
behind the door.
I am going to go with my home country of Japan. I am going to declare for them, so I will be participating there. And if you want to play with us, visit thenationsgolfcup.com. thenationsgolfcup.com. Registration closes May 31st, so sign up there while you still can. It's going to be a lot of fun. You get to play a bunch of courses throughout, so it'll be a good time for everybody. TheNationsGolfCup.com to register. And make sure you let them know that ESPN was how you found out about the Nation's Golf Cup. When we come back, we're going to talk to David Faraday. A great treat. Get us ready for the PGA Championship. And Also, everything going on with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. That is coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf, without the drive.